Next on BYUSN, BYU Athletic Director Brian Santiago joins us in Studio B to discuss how the recent revenue-sharing house settlement affects BYU. Plus, let's go even bigger picture on what it means for college sports with Amanda Kristovich from Front Office Sports.
Bill Steele has BYU ranked outside his preseason top 40. What happened? And men's volleyball throws its hat into the ring for the best recruiting class on campus.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. I am Spencer Linton. Happy June 10th, alongside a man who's ready to bring back the bibs, albeit with one change, Jerem Jordan.
Sorry, what? I do have a baby, so maybe bibs are on the mind. But at the BYU Flash, said yay or nay, photo credit, Chad Clough. Does Royal make the bibs look better? No!
Not really.
A resounding no. Well, the bibs are terrible.
That
the Royal looks nice, but then you see the white and you go, yeah.
That Royal's not royal enough. If it were brighter, maybe. Maybe it makes it a little better if it's a brighter Royal.
You're with Lord, but will never be royal enough? Wow. Okay.
It's not like the Royal
Day
like
on the show,
that
by
you
the way.
Have on and the Royal.
Yeah.
That, it's
yeah.
Like that. Shade of royal blue is not bright enough. Now, if it popped a little more, maybe it
Let
makes it a little bit better.
Royal so shine? Let's go.
It takes it from an F to a D minus.
I know that feeling at BYU. They didn't call it F. They called it an E, I believe.
Listen, I have long been on the record that I want for just one game in the future at some point, one game to bring the bibs back. A throwback bib game. I know you hate it.
They're
I know
so you, bad.
I want them back for one game.
You know what I wouldn't mind, though, honestly, is like tan for one game. Like just.
Tan's in the bibs.
Just to acknowledge how bad it is.
Tan is in the bibs. Combined effort.
No. Tan is terrible.
Oh, what a great way to start this show.
Now I'm all riled up.
While you think about the bibs, oh, those glorious uniforms.
Rick Neuheisel somewhere is going, Urgh.
Oh, rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending. We will be very competitive on this front.
Things have changed in a great way for BYU, and now you move forward.
This is what they do, Jerem. This is what BYU does.
The much lauded house settlement passed here.
What's Trending presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. The topic du jour of the week certainly deals with revenue sharing for NCAA athletics. Every single Division I school now dealing with this as the house settlement comes down and says, hey, $20.5 million, you can fork out that much money, however you want to split it up among your athletic department. That's up to you, but now some power shifts back to the schools, Jerem. So just as a necessary follow-up, because we have read a lot about it, we are learning more about it seemingly as the minutes pass.
Absolutely.
What's your continued reaction as you have dived further into this loaded topic?
A couple things. One, I've had a few people reach out and be like, so BYU gets $20.5 million? No. They have to pay out up to $20.5 million to the athletes. So that is from the TV revenue, from all the money you get from donors and so on and so forth. Revenue sharing, okay? Two, regarding NIL, still available. BYU is going to excel in that space. It's not through collectives per se anymore. It's through the school itself. And you have to submit anything over $600 to NIL Go, and they will approve it and fair market value and so on and so forth. Still details to be hashed out there. Number three is the College Sports Commission that they have come up with. That they will dole out punishments relative to issues in the NCAA now. The NCAA will not be the one to be the bad cop anymore. I just wonder how much power they will actually have. Because, yes, the schools are actually signing things that they will agree to give them power. But individual athletes, if there are issues, can sue. Boosters, typically, The wealthy don't like being told what to do. They will sue if they don't like what's going on. Or, wait, you're telling me I can't pay so-and-so X for these services and so on? That could be interesting. How many individuals won't self-report in the NCAA to NIL Go? It's supposed to be self-reported, Spence, about their earnings. There are issues. There will be issues. Is this a Band-Aid? Is it a big ace bandage? Is it a cast? I don't know.
Is this surgery and it's actually being fixed?
Is it actual surgery on the whole thing? We shall see. But, yeah, there are still questions relative to this. I do think this is a move in the right direction to sort of get some guardrails up, get some understanding and rules and guidelines relative to everything that's kind of changed and whatnot. But I am excited about the future because I do think BYU will thrive in this space. Yesterday I talked a little bit about football, men's basketball, this 20 and a half. That's revenue sharing. NIL could be, in theory, unlimited in any given sport relative
to someone who wants to give. The blue ocean approach of NIL.
If there's someone who wants to crush it with the women's soccer team, suddenly BYU can recruit the best players for a certain money. They already do recruit the best players, but you have to have a certain amount of money to get certain people. I think BYU is going to thrive in this space. I really do.
I'm excited that we have a chance to speak with the new athletic director at BYU, Brian Santiago,
absolutely,
about all of this. How do you slice the pie of $20.5 million and keep everyone happy?
Who is on the team discussing this and what is being discussed and what role do Olympic sports play in this?
Does everyone feel included
when
they're all looking up at the two big money sports of football and basketball?
Yes.
How does everybody receive this news within the BYU Athletic Department? He will sound off on that and much more. Back pay, we're going to ask him about all of it and how it affects BYU. But to double down on something that you said, the $20.5 million is not just magically coming from somewhere. BYU has
BYU
to raise this money and or, I guess, gather it somehow, whether it comes from revenue sharing of TV money.
Yeah, they're getting more than they've ever gotten. It's going to be about $32 million in TV revenue this year.
Amanda.
But also, they've never spent more money, right? That BYU has big staffs, important coaches that they've retained, and so on and so forth. But BYU is in a great spot right now. They
Amanda
really are.
Kristovich is going to join the show, too, and we'll ask her, what are the biggest issues? What's the pushback from some programs?
Front office sports, she's doing a great job covering all of this house settlement. We've got you covered today. We've got you covered on who the main voices in this conversation.
Yes.
Which will be
so how it affects BYU and how the world of college sports across the nation in large part are taking this news.
Okay, Phil Steele's digital version of the magazine is out. It's called Football Map Preview. There are seven Big 12 teams inside his top 40. BYU's not one of them. Not one of them. Okay. They are Baylor at 13, Utah at 18, Iowa State at 21, Arizona State 23, Kansas State 24, Texas Tech and its massive amount of NIL and transfer portal guys, 29, TCU 36, Brigham Young University at 53. Are you surprised BYU's not inside the top 40?
Yes, and I know that there are some of you out there saying, well, Spencer, you can understand where Phil comes from because BYU has some questions about the quarterback position.
Certainly.
This information was being gathered long before Phil Steele decided to put BYU at number 53.
He does acknowledge it in his pages about BYU.
Yes.
So he knows about it.
I don't think it was enough to drop BYU or move BYU from inside the top 40 down to number 53. I could be wrong, but I think that's too massive of a jump. I don't think he's super high on BYU in general in the Big 12.
He's high on that school up north.
Indeed.
18!
At number 18. Baylor at number 13. So
high on Baylor, too.
Some eye-opening numbers.
Yeah.
Baylor's got a fantastic returning quarterback and plenty of offensive weapons, and apparently they have leveled up in the NIL category and have spent some money, just like Texas Tech, who comes in at number 29. But
what happened with men's hoops there, though? It was all in football. They lost literally everybody.
I want to read to you what Phil Steele wrote about BYU.
Yeah.
And I quote, "The Cougars went 11-1 in 2020, 10-3 against overall 5-0 against the Pac-12, in 21, 8-5 in 22. In 23, the Cougars opened a misleading 5-2, then lost their last five with near upsets of Oklahoma and Oklahoma State to finish 5-7.
Yeah.
Last year, BYU was picked 13th in the Big 12 by the media, but opened 9-0 with some narrow escapes. They were upset by Kansas at home and ASU on the road, but won the last two of the blowout of Colorado in the bowl for a super 11-2 record. BYU plays the second easiest schedule in the league, but will not be under the radar this year. And the big question as I type this, June 6th, is will quarterback Retzloff be available this year? That is what Phil Steele is asking. 53rd. They're not under the radar. He says they play the second easiest schedule. So why middle? It feels middle of the pack, Jerem. That's why I'm surprised. It screams 6-6 or 7-5.
Does the Jake thing drop you 20 spots?
20 spots?
Yeah. I am surprised, even with the questions relative to that situation. I'm surprised by that. Baylor up top could happen. Sawyer Robertson's good, as
you mentioned.
He's
great.
They went on a tear at the end of the year last year, nearly got 9 wins, lost in the bowl game. Utah's interesting to me because Devin Dampier could be the real deal at quarterback. He's not a great passer, 12 touchdowns, 12 picks, 121 rating, but he's an unbelievable runner. He ran for 1166, 19 rushing touchdowns.
Is he the second coming of Tyler Huntley?
Maybe, but, well, this guy's a way better runner than Tyler was. But we'll see. I'm trying not to quote what Tyler said after the game, which makes me laugh to this day. It's going to be a great game with BYU and Utah. Yeah, I'm interested seeing how it plays out. And this is only year 3 in the Big 12. I love looking at this. I love being in the Big 12. I love thinking about the other teams in the Big 12 and kind of the homies here. So, yeah, I'm a little bit surprised. But ultimately, it's June 10th talking about a list, which is sometimes the content that we need to pull out. But it's all good. If BYU's 53, give him some more motivation. We've seen BYU be extra motivated by this kind of stuff.
I know 53 is not in the grand scheme of all Division I teams, which is 130-plus. It's not terrible.
But it's not up to the expectation that this team has
but
going
into the year. Again, this is back in April and May, before things have obviously changed. We were believing that BYU would be a top 18 or top 16 team in the AP poll.
That's certainly not going to be the same if things go different direction relative to quarterback. We'll see what happens in that situation. It's a massive question
yes.
mark that we have to acknowledge. We'll see how that plays
but
out.
But in your wildest, does it drop BYU 35 or 40 spots?
No, but to Phil, perhaps it does. We don't know how high he was on BYU, but all good. Ultimately, you got to go out there and play, and BYU will, in how many days? Just kidding, we don't have the count. It's in the 80s.
80-something.
80-something, exactly.
Yeah, you've heard our opinions here. We're surprised, a little surprised.
Yeah.
BYU is not even in the top 50. We're asking top 40. They're not even in the top 50.
You just don't know, so it's hard to place BYU right now, honestly. You just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Here's why I love it, because now BYU once again clearly falls into the they don't know, but they about to find out mentality, and they don't think we're good.
If I'm McKay Hillstead and Trayson Borgay, and I don't know what's going to happen relative to that situation, I am extremely, extremely motivated to be my best and be ready no matter what the situation is. I think they have been the last year.
Ready to go?
Last year, I think they were.
Your number is called. Hey, it's college football.
If it's
football.
My turn, I'm ready.
It has been, at BYU specifically, a rare commodity when a quarterback can go an entire season and start every game.
Jake played 13 games last year. That was incredible.
Hillstead and Borgay could be called upon. Our question of the day is this. What is your reaction to Phil Steele having BYU outside his preseason top 40? They're at number 53.
Top 40? Outside the top 50?
They're outside the top 50. At Nate Ricks answers, honestly, Phil is doing this team a favor.
Exactly.
They thrive when they are doubted.
Okay. Put them in the 130s. Motivate them to the maximum.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join the conversation. Not in the top 50. Where's my 4.5 wins t-shirt?
Where'd that, yeah.
That needs to be brought out
very
soon.
Is that shirt ironed and ready to go?
It's ready to go.
Excellent.
In the closet, ready to rock.
Excellent. Coming up Friday, join us for an encore presentation of 1984, 40 Years Strong and True, a 2-hour special celebrating the 40-year anniversary of the 1984 National Championship team. Watch it Friday at noon Eastern right here on BYU TV and listen on BYU Radio.
BYU won a national championship?
I heard that.
In
That's
football?
Cool. That's cool.
Coming up, the latest mock draft from CBS Sports just dropped on the NBA front. Which playoff team do they have Yegor Demin going to? Do we like that fit? I like that it's a playoff team. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
On social, we're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Fun opening segment, my friend, that included bibs and much more.
Fun wasn't the word for me regarding the bibs. Some of you weighing in, we appreciate that on Twitter. No tan from Paul Charrington. Cougar Stats saying, give us the all Navy with the tan from 2001, Luke Staley. No, let's not, okay? If you want to do it, just don't. No, tan for one game would be really. I want an alt like a tan top, like that. That would be
all tan.
Yeah, one game.
Oh,
I know, it's terrible, but it's better than the bibs.
Really?
Yeah.
All tan?
Oh yeah.
That's
no, bibs,
a take.
Bibs are probably illegal now.
That's a take.
Probably illegal. Nike not gonna mess that one up.
Oh, while all of you decipher what was just discussed there.
One game.
We should roll out today's headlines.
Against an FCS.
Should we not? A few some headlines?
Phil Steele released his top 40 teams this week. 7 Big 12 teams on the list, of which BYU was not included. When projecting the order for the Big 12, Steele has the Cougars tied with TCU for 7th in the conference. Safe to say neither of these outcomes would be sufficient for what BYU wants to accomplish.
So Phil Steele has BYU at number 53. Phil Still has BYU in his top 40.
Phil Still is a tool, okay? But Phil Steele,
he's a good guy.
After it. He's
fine. Gary Paris of CBS Sports has Yegor Demin slotted to go 15th overall to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Ooh, that'd be good.
In his latest mock draft. Parrish has Demin listed as the 12th best overall prospect, Jerem. Not bad for Yegor.
We'll tell you this. The Thunder are very interested in Yegor.
Absolutely.
They like him. Who doesn't like him?
Absolutely.
ESPN's Jonathan Givony has Demin 11th to the Blazers as his best pick of need for Portland. Hawks 13th pick as the best value with Demin. Jeremy Wu in that as well. Volleyball Magazine released its yearly Fab 50 list of the top recruits in the country. BYU signed 4 of them. Leighton Bluth's going on a mission first. Tyler Johnson, Trey Thornton, Corbin Bautista, son of Victor, all coming to Provo this fall. Can't wait to see these guys in Royal Blue.
Track and field traveling to historic Hayward Field in Eugene, Oregon to compete in the NCAA Outdoor Championships, which start tomorrow and end on Saturday the 14th. The Cougars have 18 entries. 20 athletes that will compete, with decathletes Ben Barton and Jaden Roskelly being the first two people to compete starting tomorrow morning.
They were in studio recently, and those guys are ready to go, which is awesome. And former BYU women's basketball forward Emma Calvert has signed with KB Brno, a professional team in the Czech Republic. No word on if Dominik Hasek was involved in the deal. Calvert was the second leading scorer for BYU, averaging 12.6 points per game in 2025. Her new team plays in the Czech League and the Euro Cup. Congratulations to Emma Calvert.
Dominik Hasek, that's a nice hockey reference.
That's the only Czech Republican I could name.
Up next, as promised, Amanda Kristovic from Front Office Sports joins us to discuss all of the ins and outs of this house settlement and what it means for college athletics, generally speaking. What's the biggest pushback from schools? We'll ask you that and more after the break on BYUSA. They will absolutely opt in and be very competitive into being at the forefront of collegiate athletics.
Absolutely. If you talk about winning, then you have to be on to make sure that football, men's basketball, and other sports are competitive.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. And joining us now from Front Office Sports, she's doing a fantastic job reporting with her newsletter, Business and Sports. She is Amanda Kristovic. Amanda, welcome to BYU Sports Nation. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You have taken on the huge task of summarizing what this house settlement means for college sports. 76 pages of the approval document. How long did it take you to adequately go through all 76 pages?
Well, I'm going to leave out the word adequately because I'm not sure. I could tell you how long it took to go through it. It took about, let's see, maybe an hour and a half. But that's only because with these documents, like the trick, if anyone watching is in law school, is the first like 20 pages are all just kind of a summary of what the case actually is. So if you kind of know what it's about, you can skip all that. But it was, it was cumbersome to say the least. And even though we knew a lot of the core ideas about revenue sharing and the NIL clearinghouse, like just going through it all at 9 p.m. on a Friday night was not exactly how I was planning on starting the weekend, but here we are.
Hey, that's how it is in the biz, as we know. You've been on all kinds of calls and Zooms with all kinds of people about this. We were even told this morning you've been on calls. What's the latest on all of this since it's dropped out from Friday all the way to this morning?
Yeah, I mean, I think the number one theme that I'm hearing about the House settlement is just the concern from a lot of folks, especially at schools, you know, non-power conference schools in the FBS or just in other conferences that could opt in to do revenue sharing and then, you know, have to be subject to these new NIL restrictions. Like, they are just waiting on more information. They are confused about how exactly some of these rules are going to be implemented, how they're going to be enforced and adjudicated. You know, I think that is like the biggest theme. I think the second part of that is the power conference folks that I'm, you know, speaking with and hearing from are all very enforcement minded, which might be the first time I've ever been able to say that. They all seem very gung-ho about, you know, signing on to the rules and regulations that the House settlement is going to provide and holding each other accountable. So it's this kind of weird dichotomy where, like, everyone wants to sign on to these rules, but no one really knows, like, not no one knows, but a lot of the folks who aren't in the power conferences haven't been getting as much information on what those rules are, how they're going to be implemented, and, you know, whether or not they're going to be, you know, legal and enforceable.
Amanda Krstovich of Front Office Sports is on BYU Sports Nation. Let's spend some more time specifically talking about potential pitfalls. You mentioned, NIL. How does NIL change with this revenue sharing model in place?
Yeah, so look, the revenue sharing goes $20.5 million per school as a cap. You don't have to give that much to your players, but that's the maximum amount. NIL deals are still going to exist, right? NIL deals are still considered outside of the athletic department. But the question is, are these deals going to be, quote, pay for play, or are they going to be like fair market, what some people call true NIL deals? And there are now going to be restrictions on whether or not a deal from a booster or a collective or even a company that's like highly affiliated with a school, there's going to be scrutiny about whether those deals are fair market value or they're disguised as pay for play. And there's this whole software that Deloitte set up that you have to like start putting your deals into the software, and all the athletes, you know, are their deals are going to be scrutinized. And so everyone is trying to figure out whether or not they're going to be able to continue offering as much NIL money outside of revenue sharing to their players that they were before.
It sounds like it's self-reporting. Do we believe that every athlete is going to self-report everything? I just wonder about the College Sports Commission and sort of the power that they're going to have. Yes, the teams are opting in and the leagues are saying, oh, we could kick you out if you don't sign this document and that whole report. But individuals and boosters could still sue and be upset, and we could get into a legal battle. So what power will the College Sports Commission actually have?
I mean, it's tough, right? Because, like I said, all the power conference administrators are talking about how enforcement-minded they're going to be and how they're all going to support the College Sports Commission, which is the entity that will be sort of adjudicating and enforcing these rules. And they even spoke today, this morning, about specifically about how the schools are going to be on the hook if their athletes don't report. Talk about self-reporting, right? So clearly that will like add a layer of pressure for the athletes, because now the schools are going to be sort of bearing down on them because they could get in trouble. But, you know, again, like, we don't know what the punishments are even going to be. I asked that yesterday of the Power Conference commissioners. Like, they basically were like, we haven't decided yet what the punishments are going to be. That's going to be up to the new head of the College Sports Commission, Brian Seely. So there's still like a lot of unanswered questions. I imagine there will be deals that slip through the cracks, 100%. But I am curious to see how much pressure schools put on their athletes now that they're going to potentially get in trouble if their athletes don't report.
Amanda, generally speaking, how is this being received? Is it more positive, or is there more concern and more pessimism about this from your standpoint?
I think it depends who you talk to. There's definitely a sense of relief, I would say, from the majority of folks that I'm speaking with, you know, across the board in Division I, just because even with the uncertainties, nobody really knows, no one really knows like what the legal, you know, the next sort of set of lawsuits are going to be. But even with those uncertainties, folks are still pretty relieved that, like, this change that they have been planning for months actually has come to pass. So I would say, you know, there's some anxiety. There's definitely some frustration, like I said, from non-power conference folks who feel like they're a little bit out of the loop here and want to opt in and want to participate. But ultimately, there wasn't as much panic and chaos as maybe I thought there would be, if that makes sense.
Amanda, give us a sense of what this is relative to the issues that collegiate sports have. Is it a Band-Aid? Is it an ACE bandage? Is it a cast? Is it full-on surgery? What is this in the big picture?
I would call it an ACE bandage. Let's call it an ACE bandage, okay, because it definitely, if it works as intended, provides new rules about NIL that we've never had. It allows athletes to be paid by their schools for the first time, which I feel like the majority of the industry has acknowledged is something that has needed to happen. But regardless of whether or not the House settlement rules are successful in their implementation, there are still issues that the settlement doesn't address at all. Doesn't address the transfer portal. It doesn't address eligibility that's being challenged in court. It doesn't address the biggest question in the room, which is whether or not college athletes should be considered employees and whether they are employees under the law and whether they should collectively bargain. And even some athletic directors are starting to come out and say collective bargaining is how, you know, we keep these restrictions legal in the pros. So that's something we need to do right now.
Wow. I mean, there are so many layers to this. If you couldn't tell, Amanda Kristovich of Front Office Sports is on BYU Sports Nation. I know that there's understandable concern, especially from the group of six schools compared to the Power Four schools, that an already existing financial chasm will now get wider because of this. How do you see that playing out because of this ruling?
I think the conversations about the haves and the have-nots has always been a bit of a straw man. When the NIL industry first started, there was a lot of talk about that. Like, I remember Nick Saban talking about the haves and the have-nots, and I always used to laugh, like, yeah, because Alabama hasn't had more resources than everyone else for the past however many decades. There are potential advantages, though, for some of the smaller schools, especially schools that don't have football programs, because they won't have to raise $20 million and they'll still be able to revenue share with their basketball teams more, you know, potentially more than the Power Conference football programs do. Because think of it this way, you have $20 million to split up. You got to give 75% of that to your football program if you want to be competitive. But if you don't have a football program, you don't have to come up with all $20 million to give a higher percentage to your basketball players than the Power Conference schools can, at least through revenue sharing. So I definitely think, you know, I'm a Georgetown grad, I'm a Big East girl. There's definitely a potential upside for, you know, the non-football Big East type basketball-oriented schools.
That's a good point. How do people find your stuff? They want to read it.
Yeah, frontofficesports.com. I'm on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, at A. Kristovich with an extra H. You can also find me on LinkedIn. I post a lot of my stories on LinkedIn. But yeah, all of FOS's social media platforms, my amazing colleagues and I are like on there 24 hours a day pumping out content. So yeah, with more to come.
Amanda, we appreciate the insight and all the hard work you've put into this. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks, Amanda.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Amanda Kristovich of Front Office Sports.
Big fan of their newsletter. If you like sports and business, great newsletter.
Fascinating numbers.
Yes.
That come out of that newsletter.
Love it. If you missed any of our interviews or episodes, Deep Blues and more, you can catch them all at BYUSN.com and the free BYU TV app.
In 2 minutes, our conversation with BYU Athletic Director Brian Santiago. How is BYU preparing for and approaching this House settlement with revenue sharing in play? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
How to slice up your $20.5 million among all your teams.
BYU is opting in completely.
They want to be at the forefront of collegiate athletics, and they know what that takes.
If we are nationally relevant and we do it the right way, the world will want to know who we are.
Amen to that. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. To my left sits Jerem Jordan. And just across the way in the Cougar Council Room is BYU Athletic Director Brian Santiago. Brian, good to have you on the program.
Welcome back.
Spencer, great to see you, Jerem. It's great to be with you. Seems like it was just yesterday.
I know, right? Literally, we looked up yesterday. How long has it been? It's been almost a month already?
Yeah.
It's been a crazy first month,
right? It's been moving. It moves pretty fast. There are a few things happening, but a lot of good things happening in BYU athletics.
Speaking of things happening, recently, you and the athletic department, along with every athletic department across the country in Division I athletics, found out about the House settlement outcome and how this will change the future of college sports. So, generally speaking, how was that news received, and how is it being handled by you and those in BYU athletics?
Spencer, it came Friday night after hours, which I think may have been a little bit strategic with all of the deadlines. But it was met with anticipation, right? There was a date out there of April 7th, so the fact that it just happened a month or several weeks later than everybody anticipated, there was a lot of anticipation, but what it really did is it gave us time to prepare. And we have a great team in BYU Athletics and the administration. We were prepared, we're ahead of the game, and it was actually met with some excitement. When we were at the Big 12 meetings down in Orlando, Charlie Baker, the NCAA, came, spoke to the ADs, the coaches, all the administrators, and it was super interesting because it's the way we viewed it, is that this actually shifts the power of college athletics back to the universities, which for us at BYU, we think it's a strategic advantage, where it kind of evens the playing field back. It gives the universities the opportunity to invest in their student athletes. And for us, it really, really feels like we can rise to the top doing it the right way, because we're gonna invest in the right student athletes, we're gonna invest in the right things, and we're gonna tie all these remarkable kids to the mission of this university. So it was met with anticipation, it was met with excitement, it was met with enthusiasm. And across the Big 12 schools and BYU, everyone's pretty excited about the future of athletics now that it kind of comes up under an umbrella where we can all operate in a way more strategic way based on alignment.
Why does all of this excite you so much?
It excites me because the previous model of third parties, and as people have said, the Wild Wild West, unsustainable. And the challenges of college athletics, I think it was sending the wrong message and creating a lot of very difficult situations for student athletes across the country, for universities. People were operating in a space that was not governed. And this actually brings it back to where there are rules, there are regulations, the universities can focus in on really creating an even playing field so that all the universities are operating in a space where the universities now have the opportunity to control what's happening instead of this. It really was kind of the wild, wild west, and all of us were trying to do things within the parameters, but this just feels right. It feels like it should be, if we're going to go into the space of revenue sharing with student athletes. Spencer and Jerem, like, who could have ever imagined 5 years ago that universities under a new settlement would be allowed to spend up to $20.5 million in revenue share with their student athletes? It's kind of a little bit mind-blowing, but
surreal.
Here we are, and it's an area that we've got to embrace, but there's so much more to it. So we're excited about it just from the fact that, like Charlie Baker said, it moves and shifts the power of college athletics back to the universities, which is where it should be, so that we can do things the way we want to do things, focus on the things that are most important. And the reality of it is, I'm really excited about it because I think it's a strategic advantage for BYU. I think it's going to allow us to be in a space where doing things the BYU way, focusing on the mission, investing in these world-class student-athletes that are coming to BYU for all the right reasons. It takes a shift away from the money back to where it should be. And I think it's going to be a strategic advantage for BYU.
New BYU Athletic Director Brian Santiago is with us on BYU Sports Nation. To use a quote we played when we came back from break, the world will want to know who we are at BYU. And your words that you have just put out there are in line with that. Now, you have been very public about the minds that you have around you. In fact, you already referenced them today.
Yeah.
So what type of people and minds are you collaborating with on a committee, if you want to call it that, to prepare for something like this?
Well, that's part of the strength. We have been preparing for this for some time. So we're way out ahead of it. We already have a plan in place. We already have budgets in place. Cougar Nation as a whole has come to the table saying we want to invest in these student athletes for all the right reasons. Our team in the athletic administration is strong. We're united. You have some of the best minds. I could start naming names, but you have Dallin Moody, who I think is one of the best CFOs and best administrators in college athletics when it comes to the finances. We have a team yesterday, a compliance team. We have our senior woman administrator, Liz Darger, that's been in the room helping us strategize. Chad Gwilliam, we all stood yesterday united with our coaches to send a very clear message. This is a great day for college athletics, especially in this space of how we're going to be able to do this in a very unique way at BYU. Again, focusing on the mission. We want to invest in these student athletes in a very unique way. And this actually allows us to do that. I was recently sitting in a home of some prominent friends of BYU Athletics where they asked us, what do you need? And, you know, in this space, you can be very quick to say, oh, we need all of this, or we need all of these projects. We need resources for all of these things. It was so refreshing to just look at them and say, what we need is for you to be all the way in investing in these student athletes that are going to come to BYU for all the right reasons, for the academic, the world-class academic experience they're going to have, the incredible things they're going to do on the playing field, but more importantly, that spiritual aspect. What we're trying to do is prepare these young men and women to go out into the world and change the world. And I mean that literally. These are some of the most remarkable human beings you'll ever be around. Cougar Nation gets to see them in the sports arena. But as people invest, so what I ask this couple to do is please just invest in these student athletes. Invest in these world-class coaches that are preparing them to go make a difference in the world. We're not, the thing that I love about this settlement is I really believe that this revenue share takes the focus away from money. And it allows us to, and I know people are like, wait, explain that. It allows us to focus. It kind of brings a cap into play where we have to be competitive. But what we can really do is just start focusing on preparing these young men and women to go change the world. That's what gets me super excited about it, is that it's a revenue share model that we actually think works. We're going to embrace it. Our coaches are super excited about it. We're going to maintain Alston Awards, which I don't want to get too far into the weeds, but that's an academic award that we're going to add to it, a mission fit, so that there's motivation and incentive to stay totally aligned with BYU, not only in the academic world and how they succeed in the classroom, but it's going to tie in the dress and grooming standards, the honor code, all of these things that mean so much to us that we see as a competitive advantage. That's what we're going to be able to focus on. So it gets me excited. I know you guys are going to hear me say that it makes my hair grow. I like the fact that we're in a space now where we feel like we can focus on all the right things. And at the same time, we've talked about it before, we're going to chase greatness. So we feel like we can have both. We feel like we can have both. And just the energy, enthusiasm right now in the room with the coaches, with our student athletes right now, it's people are ready to go and they're super excited about it. And we're super grateful to Cougar Nation. This is something I have to say. for so long the last couple of years, people are keep saying we want to invest in BYU. We want to invest in these student athletes. We want to give our resources to BYU. But the way this has been run the last 2 years with outside NIL, third parties, collectives, is that people weren't as comfortable giving their resources to the collective. Now that all shifts to the university. So there's alignment. Mm. So that people can give to where they're passionate, people can give to this remarkable university, knowing that it's going to be used in the right way to bless the lives of these student athletes. So it just kind of lines everything back to this great university and our unique mission. So that's what gets me excited.
Travis Hansen said it well. We're about transformation, not transaction here at BYU, which is great. Regarding the $20.5 million, you have to figure out, okay, how much goes to football, men's basketball, all the other sports? What goes into that conversation?
Yeah, it's actually a super important conversation, and it's one thing that we hope the world will understand. It's called revenue share for a reason. And football is the leader in the house. It's the ship. It's what we all link into, because the success of our football program leads everything. And so revenue share, the larger portion of revenue share is going to go to support our football program and support the student athletes in football. The next part of revenue share, as everybody knows, is men's basketball. That's super important. We're going to invest resources and stay consistent in those areas with revenue share. What's more meaningful to us, and we talked about it yesterday as we sat in a room together with our coaches, is that we are all invested in all of our sports. There are a lot of universities saying, hey, over here in the Olympic sports, we're only going to invest in these two or three sports. We're going to invest in all of our sports. We're going to spread it out because we want all of our student athletes to feel the impact of this and give them an opportunity to chase their dreams and do it at a place that they love that aligns with where they want to be. And that's super important. Women's basketball, super important part of this conversation nationally and here. And then look at the incredible strength we have of all of our other Olympic sports. We're perennial powerhouses across the country. Why wouldn't we invest in these sports? We want to spread it out so that all the remaining resources go to all of our sports, so that we can continue to invest at a high level, make sure that we're getting the right student athletes coming to BYU. And there was a palpable feeling of gratitude yesterday in the room, maybe that's the right word to say, from all of our Olympic coaches, like, hey, thanks for seeing us. And a really important part of that is we're going to invest this Alston money. Most universities, everybody has the autonomy to do it how they want to do it, is going away from the Alston money, going away from the things that we think are super important, the academic side, all this mission fit stuff, because they just want to maximize what they can pay out for these student athletes. What we want to do is we want to keep Alston as a super important part of our overall financial package so we can invest in all of our student athletes. All of our student athletes across the board, men and women, are going to have an opportunity to earn these academic and Alston awards that ties into the mission fit of BYU. When we explained that yesterday, and we're going to make decisions based on making sure everyone is impacted and competitive advantage, there was a palpable feeling. There was even some applause in the room. Like, thank you for seeing us. Thank you for noticing that all of us matter. And then the most powerful thing that happened in the room is Kalani Sitake said, we're all in for everybody in this room. Football is super important. We appreciate that you're all very supportive of us, but we're very supportive of you. And that's where the magic starts happening, is when you see recruits across multiple sports coming together. I see recruits from other sports, coaches bringing recruits in to meet with Kalani, Kalani helping recruit other athletes. We're all in this together, because united, we're going to get to the top of the mountain. And it's only going to happen that way. It cannot be, hey, here's football and basketball, and here's the rest of BYU athletics. And that's what I'm most excited about, is there's a feeling in the room like, hey, we're all in this for each other, we're all in this together, and we're going to do it the BYU way.
BYU Athletic Director Brian Santiago is on BYU Sports Nation. Fascinating details into that meeting yesterday. And I promised a few fans who asked on social media about where BYU fits into the back pay scenario, because BYU wasn't a Power 4 program until July 1st of 2023 officially, but the House settlement says, well, you got to take care of athletes going back to 2016. Yeah. So how does BYU's role in that factor in?
Spencer, great question. It's we're part of it, but only to a point. Because we were not a Power 4, Power 5 team going back, we joined later in the Big 12. So there's a calculation for some of those student athletes that fit into that category. There's a calculation for those student athletes. That's all handled through the NCAA. That's the beauty of this settlement, is the back pay is all done through the NCAA. Those student athletes would have to opt in, and then that calculation for those from BYU would factor into what the NCAA covers. And then the newness starting July 1st is that it comes into the universities. Our responsibility at BYU is to move into this revenue share forward. Back pay is handled by NCAA.
Don't let Brian Logan convince you he played in 2016, okay? He was in 09 and 10. He has nothing to do with this, okay?
It's actually classic. We've had a lot of student athletes reach out, not only about this settlement, but we've had a lot of student athletes just reach out wondering if they should be getting NIL now for what they did 20 years ago.
Eric Mika, you left, dude. I'm sorry, bro. We love you. Dude. You're out.
You're out, buddy. Let's go.
We should congratulate you on locking down your head men's basketball coach.
That's
Kevin
a big
Young
deal,
well.
Too. I know that you. Yeah. You mentioned the day you were hired, that was a priority. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you so much. As I said before, and I've said it off in the last 3 or 4 weeks, everything that we do, every day, every one of us in college, in BYU athletics, should come to work to do two things. Lift, empower, and love the student athletes, and lift, empower, and love our world-class coaches. And we're super blessed at BYU to have a human being like Kevin Young leading our basketball program. Everybody knows he's a great basketball coach. But to have he and his wife Missy and their beautiful children choose to be at BYU, Cougar Nation,
special.
I keep saying it, it's alive. And when you start looking at human beings like Kevin Young, Kalani Sitake, I could go on, Diljit Taylor, Lee Kumar, Jennifer Rockwood. I should name all 19 head coaches. But when you start putting those types of individuals leading out and coaching and blessing the lives of these student athletes, it's where magic happens. I keep saying it, we can have both. We can do this in a very unique way tied to the mission of this great university. And we can chase our dreams and we can chase greatness. And having Kevin Young choose to be at BYU, let's go.
He is Brian Santiago, scratch golfer. He averages 15 points and 6 assists in his morning ball routine. He also moonlights as the athletic director.
Hey, Spencer, I just have to clarify one thing. I did go play golf for the first time. I've been a little distracted for the first time in a minute, a week or so ago, and I came home and told Kim, I might need to take up tennis. I have no idea where this ball's going.
I'm out.
The ball's going everywhere.
Pickleball's calling everybody's name later, too.
Let's go. I need that thing to go straight, though.
That is very funny. Brian, great to have you with us.
Thanks for coming in, Brian.
Hey,
it was good to see
you. Jeremy Spencer, great to be with you. To everybody in this room, just super grateful for all of you, what you do for BYU Athletics. We're all in this together, and we're grateful to be partners with BYU TV.
Absolutely.
Brian Santiago on BYUSN. Up next, when you're living on your knees, you gotta wise up. And we'll explain all of that. A special BYU Broadway crossover in our Rise and Shout Out on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. This post has nothing to do with our question of the day, but needs airtime. From at Griffin Marcus 13, mean mug picture of Hadeem Mboup. Band-aids under the eye. He says, we're going to need more of this versus Houston this year.
What just happened? Did he dunk on someone?
I love it.
Like, Unbelievable.
Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
CBS Sports College basketball analyst Seth Davis tweeted the following regarding the Hamilton cast who performed at the Tonys on Sunday. There's never been a greater piece of art in my lifetime than this show, except maybe Jimmer.
What?
Get ready for some goosebumps.
We're working on Jimmer's Broadway musical. I am not going to pass up my shot. Thanks to today's guest.
He didn't. Sorry, Dennis.
For Jeremy, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Tom Holmo. Go Cougs.
Nice.